Good morning. Today is Wednesday. Happy Veterans Day, everybody. 310th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Good morning, sir.
Hello. How are you?
Okay. No, I just was kind of pausing. If there's going to be... Damien wants to play a little bit of music.
Okay. It's going to be one of those days.
Give him a little pause there. Well, not our music. I was thinking more for Veterans Day.
Oh, okay. Good.
That's okay. All right. There we go. There's a couple spots. Yeah. So apparently he's really excited about this and did it both times. That's kind of cool. Our quote this morning comes from Albert Camus. You're forgiven your happiness and your successes only if you generously consent to share them. A little existential, but I think there's a lot of reflecting going on today, so that's not a bad thing at all. No. So what's keeping you up these nights?
Oh, what is keeping me up? Nothing. I sleep good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can do some things to break that pattern then for you, huh?
Sure, tonight will be much different.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Got a question for you.
Sure.
I keep having folks indicate that Santa Rosa, that Medford, that Coos Bay, that Redding are, their airport situation is getting better and healthier and more active. Is that continuing to be at the cost of Humboldt County? Or are you hearing that there's some stuff going on in the background and we're going to start being able to take advantage of some of that stuff too?
Oh, boy. So we keep hearing that it's close, but we've been hearing that for a few years. And I don't have any update of where service is at, but I know they're continually going to the air service meetings and banging away, and we've got all the incentives still out there. And Supervisor Bass just went to the Headwaters Fund meeting the other day and got a bunch of users of the airport to the meeting and told them the importance of the revenue guarantee that's in place, that's guaranteed partially through the Headwaters Fund. And the Headwaters Fund agreed and continued with the funding of the revenue guarantee. So that's good.
Is that for another year or just to keep it on the table?
I believe it's for another year. Could be longer. Might be 2 years.
So whatever that commitment is stays intact.
I think it's a 2-year commitment.
Are you... Is it a big deal? I mean, it's been out there languishing for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the airport structure. You've got county economic development that ought to be all over this stuff. You got supervisors that's kind of rotated through. Just looking at the results, looking at the time, effort, and energy, it would seem like it's not that big a deal because it's been so long. Crescent City has. Santa Rosa's going stupid crazy on this thing. Is it really a priority?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a high priority. And, we spend a lot of money on sending people and begging and pleading for someone to come. And, it doesn't make much sense to me either because we have good numbers up here. And United is continually adding flights and new planes. And, I think the momentum's in the right place. And, especially I think it's good news that Santa Rosa's getting bigger and there's solid air service out of Crescent City. I mean, it just shows that there's a need. And hopefully these small regional carriers build up capacity to where – they start looking other places.
Those two?
Humboldt will be a good place. Yeah.
I always love that. Me too. Okay, yeah. Fine. Thank you. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this very morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. You're not going to be board chair next year. Does it go to Virginia?
Supervisor Lovelace.
Okay. That's right. He'll serve out all of 16 then.
Yeah. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I know how to count. Thank you very much. I just was thinking with the election cycle. But I'd forgotten that you guys get sworn in and at in January.
Yes.
Rather than December.
Yes.
Or November, like some of the cities do. Okay, fine. So I have one cog missing on my sprocket wheel. What's going on with water? I know we're starting to get a little bit of drip, which is kind of cool. Not enough to do anything really exciting yet. But a lot of talk with El Nino and things like that. Is that going to relieve some of the water battles that have been going on, either with the Trinity Dam or Trinity River or Klamath and some of those that we've been hearing about the last few years?
Yes and no. I think the main point of the El Nino is it's going to hit more down south than up here, from what I understand. And one of the really good things is, you know, we've talked about it before, is the Humboldt County getting the 50,000 acre feet recognition. And we were able to let water out of Trinity this last summer when the flows were really low, and use that water as the water that Bureau of Reclamation earmarks as, you know, what we can let out. And we didn't have a large fish kill last year, so that was good.
Now, part of that is associated with the algae in the river and the all that, you know, the nitrogen and all that stuff that the pot farmers leach in from their efforts.
They don't know why the algae blooms are going like they are. I mean, it could be, you know, when you have warmer temperatures.
It could be the algae fairy. You're right.
Well, there's no data.
What's
that
changed?
Yeah, I don't know, and I'm not going to say that public because there's something I don't know. And
it seems to be used pretty regularly in discussions about the Eel River and the blue-green algae and the contaminants and the, I guess they can't, well, maybe we can still say undocumented, but certainly unpermitted water poles and the leaching that comes out of the pot farms.
Well, there's other farms that are right up to the river too, you know. So
yeah, but the cows are regulated. I mean, they got guys all over those things, right? Worry about the effluence, and, you know, Ferndale had that thing a couple of years ago where they're all over. You know, if you had a cow, you had to, you know, pretty much put a diaper on it. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty strident regulations and monitoring and all those types of things.
You know more than I do.
Oh. So. Fine. You just didn't hang out enough with Jimmy when he was around.
Nope. Not in Ferndale, anyways.
Yeah. Not so, in public, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay.
Well, there is some big things coming, though. That 50,000 acre feet can be used more than one way. You know, it can be used for fish and sent down the river, or there's people in the Central Valley that probably would love to have a portion of that water, you know. So one of the things that we're doing is, in the last budget, we requested to have enough money to hire a water attorney and figure out what the county's options are, because, you know, if we have, you know, right now there's a fight in court over, there's two provisions in the act that talks about water and how to release it and all that, and there's provision one that talks about the record of decision for the Hoopa tribe and Trinity. They can let water out for that, but that's held up in court right now. And then the second one is Humboldt County's water. If the Hoopa tribe wins in court and they let the water out from their allocation, there could be water left over with the county. And then what can we do with that water if it's available?
So the 50,000, if let's say the tribe gets 30, then that remains 20? Or is that 30 plus 50?
30 plus 50.
Okay.
Yeah, 'cause there are two separate provisions in there. So it could get interesting, you know, if there's enough water. And the options could be, you know, do we store it up in the Trinity River or the Trinity Lake and then – you know, have that
have it as a bank
for
or
a couple of years.
Yeah. Reserve? Oh.
Could we sell a portion of it to the southern part of the state? You know, should we just automatically let out 50,000 acre feet every year for fish? You know, so I think there's a whole bunch of different options. And we need some advice on what are our options, what are the hoops we have to jump through to do each one, and I've told people.
You mean the public hearings and the, well, that kind of stuff that's associated with it, or just total what's involved?
Well, what I've heard is if you want to sell the water, you know, so I've told people from the beginning, you know, the first thing we need to do is make sure there's enough water in the river for fish. But if there's extra water and we have it, it's in Humboldt County's name. If we wanted to sell it down south, we'd have to go before the state water board and request that. That's what I've heard.
Oh, so you need to have permission in order to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to go and figure out what these hoops are and what it means for the county and, you know, and how to protect the 50,000 acre feet to make sure it goes for fish first. And, you know, and then what are our options after that?
Well, it would be interesting, just kind of from outside looking in, that if the lake itself could serve as the reservoir for this, then you let it out when it gets tight, and anything else is, I mean, surplus, that's not a word you use an awful lot in government, and an opportunity to revenue generate off of it. I think no one would argue that it isn't a sustainable or renewable resource. I mean, you're going to get more next year and add to it. It kind of sounds like that old profit word.
Yeah.
Could be kind of cool.
You never know. Yeah.
Maybe that could attract some more airplanes here.
Possibly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back to talk shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the North and Northeast.
Yes, sir.
North by Northeast. That was not the movie that Hitchcock made, though.
No.
It was South by Southwest. So you're like the polar opposite.
I'm my own horror film.
Yeah. Point taken. A little bit of suspense thrown in there also. With the water and hiring the attorney that you alluded to in the last segment, is this a full-time staff position or is this more of a consultant basis just to kind of get things all squared out so you guys have a sense of what options are out there?
It's a consultant position. You know, I think it was $50,000 that we set aside for a consultant for this, and that'll get us to a point where we can at least have a good understanding with our own information. Everyone, you know, there's a lot of people or a lot of different agencies and, you know, tribes and whoever to, you know, give you advice, but I appreciate it, but we need to have our own information. You know, the county's
independent information.
Yeah, we need to have our own. So that's, I think it's all out there. We just need to pull it all together and have an attorney look it over and say, here's what your options are. And I don't think it would cost that much to do.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if there's also some benefit for either the Klamath. Okay. But the drainage certainly is in Humboldt County, called the Trinity and others, and the Eel Rivers also. Just, I mean, as long as you got them on retainer, mm-hmm. and you got a couple bucks to see if there is some way to do something or what some case law might be out of California, because I would imagine it's going to be more out of the state than in state, just because there's not that many rivers that are, or situations that are common to what you're referencing inside the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to choose?
How do we choose which?
Yeah, which attorney?
Oh, there's a list of them that we have of, you know, people who've worked in this field, and we're going to go over them, and Jeff Blank, our new county counsel, is going to help us decide which one.
Ah. Peer review, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So what else is going on?
Well, I every time we go up and down the road, I keep wondering, is this the last time I'm going to go over the road?
Unless
is this the last time I'm going to get? Too many have said the clock is ticking. And yes. I keep looking for signs that something's going on. Nah, I just throw a little bit more asphalt over it, throw a little bit more striping on it. I think last week when I went through, they were doing a little bit more shoveling and doing a little bit more compacting, trying to make the drop a little bit less of a bump as you go over it. You know, patch, patch, patch kind of thing. Uh-huh. Is there any, I hate to say the word, movement?
There is movement.
Or traction with
the
this
whole
project?
Hill's moving.
Yeah.
No, it's actually good timing to ask me this because we haven't met for a few months with the task force that was put together by Congressman Huffman, and they called us all and said, you know, we've got new information. Caltrans has new information for you guys, and we would like to call another meeting. And that was just a week or so ago, and so we drove up to Crescent City for the day.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay.
And they were working on last chance grade when I drove up there, but they weren't working on the road. What they were doing is they're putting in monitoring equipment.
Oh, the stuff off the side there on the shoulder?
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw them, you know, five guys working on it.
Yeah. Well, it was my cousin Randy.
Oh, really?
Working on it, yeah.
Did you honk and wave and stick your tongue out and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I yelled stuff at him.
Yeah, oh, good. Okay, yeah.
So, but what they're doing is actually putting monitoring equipment into the ground. They have some already, and so they know how much it's moving by the day. And
it's registering by the day?
I think it registers probably by the hour, but they get their report by the day. And what the main source of information that we wanted to look at was tunneling, you know, for, you know, what does the ground look like? You know, is it a doable option for tunneling? Because looking at all the options to go through last chance grade, to go around last chance grade, tunneling was the least impactful to the environment and the shortest route. You know,
yeah, didn't you say there's tunnel one and tunnel two?
So this new information that we got, because one of the big issues came out too was cuts and fills. And this project, and it's in a pretty sensitive habitat, so the cuts they would do would they have to take that fill somewhere, right? And other projects, what they would do is they would cut one hill and then you put it into the next one, right? So you don't have a whole bunch of haul off with your project. But this project, they were going to, you know, saying, you know, we have a sensitive habitat, we're going to have to do bridges over the gullies. We can't just fill it in and then put a culvert in. So that was going to create a large amount of shipping or trucking dirt off to somewhere. And there's a gentleman that's on the task force with us that has done these projects with Caltrans before, and he's saying, you know, this take years and years and years just to ship all this stuff off. So they reworked the project quite a bit, and every single alternative now has a tunnel component to it. And then they've done some testing, and it looks like that it's a workable solution. And we asked them what would happen if that thing failed. You know, if it dropped down, what would happen?
To the tunnels?
No, the last chance grade as it is now.
Mm. Splash? You
know, well, they are certain that they could keep one lane open for a while.
Oh, like Stagecoach. Yeah, lots of confidence on that one, huh?
So
that wouldn't be.
Well,
so they think
it's not a very
do the
option.
stop start.
Yeah, they'd have signals at each end, and you'd have to go one at a time.
Well, that'd be great fun with the fog too.
Well, here's the interesting part of that is, right? We were trying to say, you know, this has to be an emergency, you know, because if it's not an emergency, it's going to be till 2030 before anything is actually around, and you know, you're making this thing work. And the way that the laws are written now, Caltrans can't declare this an emergency yet until something happens or something gets a lot worse. And so I think that's one of the reasons they're putting all this monitoring equipment in, is to try and
get the data so that they can support.
Yeah. So they could, I think they'd get sued if they declared an emergency that wasn't an emergency, and they got to be careful. So,
oh, you mean people sue Caltrans?
No, never. But it's a pretty big issue, you know. That would be devastating for a lot of people if that.
So the fast track stuff that Huffman and his guys were talking about, that they would be able to get waivers for, doesn't seem like it's in the cards now? We have to be...
No, I think it still is. You know, I think Congress can do a lot more, but they just need some more information and, you know, and a unified stance also. One of the things that we did was we went through and said all the things the whole committee agreed on for us, you know, and one of the things was that this is, you know, the no build option is not an option. So this, you know, we've got environmentalist groups to Chamber of Commerce to
so get everybody to sign off on that, and then Congress perceives less risk and they're more apt to say yes.
Yeah, so they get a good buy-in from this wide range of people, and so we're putting together a white paper, and then we have this list of all the things that we agree on. And, you know, this project's probably going to be, at the end of the day, between $700 and $1 billion by the time it's finished.
He didn't even hesitate when he said that. KINS, news and information.
I stuck my pinky up and stuck it next to my face.
Oh, I thought that was more of a wine thing. KINS, news and information time. It's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:48. Final couple moments with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, so with the last chance grade and the stuff that's going on there, how quick can this thing move, or how devastating do they need before an event to be before they'll do something quick? Because you still got the construction, regardless of the permitting. There's still the boring and all the other stuff that is associated with this thing.
So, the Caltrans is moving forward with their normal process right now, but that is a really long time frame. I mean, they gave us a schedule that showed, you know, how long each part takes, and the majority of the time is, you know, the permitting and, you know, and all the reports that they have to generate. So they're moving forward with that system, you know, regardless of what happens, and you know we're going to need congressional approval basically to have. To accelerate the timeline or an emergency. I think it's one of those two things. And with this group put together in a unified message, I think we'll give, you know, especially Huffman, the authorization to go through and, you know, and work with his colleagues and say, hey, this is a big issue. And, you know, we're looking at Oregon also, you know, because, you know, this a lot of people from Oregon come through this way.
Well, sure, you got the whole coast and Grants Pass also.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a multi-state effort.
Is DeFazio part of the discussion at this point, or is this all Huffman right now?
I know he's aware, but they brought his name up a few times in the meetings. So it's tricky, you know.
Well, at least they're both dams. You know, they sit on the same aisle, same side.
Well, what they were talking about though is getting money out of Congress right now is very difficult. You know, they don't do earmarks anymore, and so there's a strategy on how to make these things work and how to fund them, and especially these huge projects. So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
Too much fun. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Happy Veterans Day.
You too.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.